This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on accessible and transparent delivery of government services through e-governance. The participants are Puneet Yadav, Additional Secretary, Department of Administrative Reforms and Public Grievances, and Aditya Shukla, Akashvani correspondent.
27th National Conference on E-Governance will be held on 3rd and 4th September in Maharashtra. To discuss various aspects of this conference, we welcome Additional Secretary, Department of Administrative Reforms and Public Grievances, Puneet Yadavji, in our studio. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much.
Sir, to start with, we would like to know, what is the theme of 27th National Conference on E-Governance?
The theme of the conference is Viksit Bharat, Secure and Sustainable E-Service Delivery. Basically, this conference is focusing on the spread and the robustness and reaching the last mile to the citizens through e-services delivery. And as the theme suggests, the focus is also on security of the e-services delivery and the sustainability of the e-services.
The Prime Minister has emphasized the need for maximum governance, minimum government. How can e-governance practice help achieve this vision?
The e-services delivery are the best manifestation of maximum governance, minimum government. Because as you know, a digitally empowered citizen can access the services from the remotest corner of the country. This is where the outreach, reaching the last mile, all these factors come into play. If you see in the physical mode, service delivery is a very big challenge. If you go back to some 10 to 15 years back, a villager had to come to the district headquarters to avail most of the services, whether it was related to DM office, SDM office, block office. It meant a loss of one day's livelihood. Even then, it was not assured that the service will reach him. He will be able to meet the right officer. Through e-service delivery, we are accessing the remotest corner of the country, irrespective of the geographic location. We have now citizen services center, through which the remotest person in the country can reach all the services, which is where the effort is to create e-service delivery, because they are far more accessible, less expensive, very much transparent, and it entails minimum contact points, which is where it creates a digitally empowered citizen, which is what the maximum of the Honorable Prime Minister is. So this e-service delivery flows from the mandate and the vision of Honorable Prime Minister only.
So we just celebrated the 10 years of Jan Dhan Yojana. The government has been focusing on JamUnity. I think this is one of the successful examples of e-delivery system. Would you like to add on it?
If you recall the situation some 15 to 20 years, not that the e-service delivery was not there, but the pace at which the service delivery has improved and the number in which it has increased is incredible. If you see 20 years back or 30 years back, people had to stand in queues to file an application for JEE or something. Whether it is the banking, whether it is the need of the pensioners, whether it is related to filing an FIR. E-service is now prevalent and accessible in all sectors of life. It touches all segments of society under the leadership of our Honorable Prime Minister and with the vision and support from Honorable Minister Shri Jitendra Singh Ji and the leadership of our Secretary Shri V. Srinivas. We started a focus on providing 56 mandatory services. So in discussion with the states and the ministries, 56 e-services were mandated. That is in the year 2019. Now within a span of 5 years. If you see, when we started, we were focusing on 848 services, including all the states. Today, this mandatory services number has reached around 1600. But that is just the beginning. The department thought that why are we only focusing on 56 services when we can focus on the larger number of total e-services. Immediately, when we tried to compile and build a service delivery protocol and a portal and a framework, we reached a number of 11,000. Now, as on date, we are monitoring some 16,500 services, and these are e-services. Now, this means this is a silent revolution. We talk of milk revolution, we talk of green revolution, we talk of white revolution. This e-services delivery revolution, it is happening at a very fast pace and in a very silent manner. We are not realizing because the pace is so rapid that we are not able to even notice it. But today, in every segment of life, we are availing e-services, whether it is banking. How long do we need to go to the banks now? It's very rare.
You said that e-services have changed a lot in the infrastructure or the service delivery systems. But a change that has happened due to this e-governance is mostly visible in the administrative area. So what change do you see in the public administration, if I can say, in the last 10 or 12 years? What changes in the public administration do you see due to this e-governance?
changes can be seen in two ways. One, the way the public gets an access to the government, and secondly, the way the internal operations and the management of the government processes, the files, it happens. I will start with the second way first. Now we all operate in an e-office system. Basically, if you see today, almost 95% of the files which are created now are e-files. If you go sometimes back, it used to be paper files. You can link it to the Swachhata campaign, which we are doing, the Swachhata campaigns. You can also link it to the efficiency it creates in the system. In the paper file, it was very little transparent. Not many people could see where the decision making was pending, where the issue was still stagnating. In e-files, it is totally transparent. I'll give you an example. In the early 2020, the government started to monitor the level of decision makings, to how many layers in administrative hierarchy a file has to move. It is seen in early 2020, the level was around 8.1, which is where under the leadership of our PM Sahab and Honorable Jitin Singh Ji, it was decided that this is a focus area with the drive from Cabinet Secretary Sir and a passionate drive from our Secretary Sri Vishnuas. This was monitored very closely, and beyond process and electronic, both way reforms were taken. So orders were issued, increasing efficiency in decision making, and it was decided that the number of decision making layers has to come down to 4. I should inform you, when as we discussed it today, this level actually in a month has come down to below 4 also, and this is the figure which I am talking of, including around 78 ministries and departments from where we are getting this data, some 40 lakh files, and today the decision making is happening in around 4.11 levels. So that shows how fast and how the red tape is being reduced, how the government is focusing on getting the decisions faster. And this is what we talk of maximum governance and minimum government.
Exactly, you said that e-governance has reduced the red tapism in our country, but the one who have got the most of the benefit is the marginalized communities of our country due to this e-governance. So what role do you see of technology in making governance more accessible to marginalized communities, including women living in rural areas?
I'll begin with one aspect of it. The efficiency of e-service delivery is also linked to the efficacy of our grievance redressal. Because unless if a person faces an issue of getting the service delivery resolved, there may be so many places in which the decision may still be stuck. I am coming to the topic of CP grams, in which we actually monitor how the complaints are registered, how they are resolved, and what is the time frame. And this will involve all segments of societies, including women and other marginalized section of the society. When CPGRAM was implemented, the time for resolving one's problem used to be in excess of 60 days. Now recently an order has been issued that it should be resolved within 21 days. Now 21 days is mandated for all. As we discussed this, the average time actually is 16 days. This shows, and beyond women, I will say, there are people who may not be able to submit their application in either Hindi or English. There are so many languages in this country. The technology has helped so much. Today we are translating all these applications which are filed in respective native languages. They are translated to Bhashini, and the system actually sorts them. There is a use of artificial intelligence in the system. They are classified according to the category. Highly sensitive categories are again identified by the system, which is where the time which used to be taken by a team of officers ran into weeks. The system is doing it very fast and very efficiently, and the timeline and the red tape has been reduced significantly. So all the segments of the society are benefiting from it. In particular, if you see women-related services, when we talk of scholarships being given to the children, when we talk of the midday meals and the grains which are being devolved, when we talk of direct benefit transfers, this is all related to the trinity of Aadhaar and direct benefit transfer. Women definitely are a major beneficiary of this silent revolution which I am discussing.
Yes, you talked about CP Gram system that has been recognized globally for its effectiveness in grievance redressal. So I would come to the questions, what makes it a model for application in other countries? But also tell us that if someone is listening to our broadcast today and he has some grievance, so how he can register his complaint in the CP Gram, and what is the process for the redressal?
The CP Gram today has attained such a stage of maturity that recently in the Commonwealth Secretariat, at the global level, 56 international countries found the utility of CPGRAMs, and Government of India was requested that they want to replicate it across the Commonwealth countries. So this is a recognition of the progress which India has made, the technology forefront where we are heading to. And we should observe one thing, that when a system is functioning in India, we are talking of 140 crores people. When we are talking of other countries, so-called Western and the European countries, they have much smaller numbers. A system which works in India will easily be workable in other countries also. And how the citizen can actually use this CPGRAMs, it's simple. Once you log into the system, you have to reach to our website, and anyone can enroll using a mobile number, because that gives you an unique ID. You will get the password on your mobile only, and through which you can create any complaint. In case if you do not know English language, you can register the complaint in your own language also. The system will translate it. The system will identify, based on the location of the person, the address he or she is giving, to which officer it should reach. The entire process of sending it one level to second level to third level is now cut short. Based on the PIN code which the person is submitting, the office which is supposed to handle it can be identified. The person who is handling it can be identified. So it reaches the last mile, at least from the perspective of problem resolution, immediately. And with that, now the person knows that the time clock has started. So which is where the focus is system level, intelligence level, and the resolution as we see is also much faster.
And what kind of complaints can be registered on CPGRAMs?
It can register all types of complaint. The grouping of the complaint also will be done by the system. So there is no limitation on what sort of complaint can be done. It could be related to any issues, like if my service site is not being provided, if I am facing any issue of law and order in my neighborhood. It will identify the related office and send it to that office. There is no limitation as such.
And anywhere can send it?
Anyone can.
Okay. That's right. With e-governance comes the question of cyber security also. So we would like to know, what steps are being taken to address the challenge of cyber security?
See, cyber security is again a rapidly evolving scenario, because the people who create such cyber attacks are also very active. The government has already created a portal called cybersecurity.gov.in. People can register any complaint there. It also is classifying complaints related to two or three grave or other important segments. One is related to crimes related to women. The other is financial frauds. Third is general category. What we have seen, that once e-governance is getting linked to cyber security, firstly, the number of crimes, of course, as we see, it is getting reported faster, because anyway the crime has occurred, the reporting time is short, because you can reach out immediately. You can also enroll the complaint immediately. Efforts are being taken to, if in case of, let's say, financial loss, to track the transactions. It can be easily tracked from one account to second to third. Though I am not the competent officer to speak on this, but as a policy level, you see that the focus is very much there. And which is where in our e-governance conference also, actually there are two plenary sessions related to this. I can tell you, one is regarding data governance, privacy and security in digital age. Second is cyber security and emergency response readiness, which is where this conference is very important. We want people to learn about these emerging things. And I am sure through this conference, we will be able to make more and more people aware about the threats, be prepared to respond to them. And reforms is a recurring process. We learn from each other. It's a mutual learning which we are trying to replicate. That is why if you see administrative reforms, we talk of best practices and replication of best practices. So once we learn from each other, it is easier for the other governments, other states to replicate such best practices, which is where we are very excited about our conference.
Thank you so much, sir, for coming to our studio and giving us insights into the e-governance and public administration in your country. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on accessible and transparent delivery of government services through e-governance. The participants were Puneet Yadav, Additional Secretary, Department of Administrative Reforms and Public Grievances, and Aditya Shukla, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.